A recent report in the Wisconsin State Journal pegged a roundabout on Madison's west side as a crash magnet. The roundabout at Mineral Point Road and Pleasant View Road had 47 crashes last year, according to the city's traffic engineering department, 12 more than in 2015. The report noted that while there have not been any fatal accidents at any of Madison's five roundabouts, the number of crashes continues to climb. So why is this, and what can be done about it? I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Happy Labor Day Monday. So are you encountering lots of roundabouts in your Labor Day weekend travels? Do you appreciate roundabouts, or do you try to avoid them? What are your thoughts and questions about roundabouts and roundabout safety or risks? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And I'll mention that when I posted that we were going to be doing this on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page on Friday, the comments started coming immediately, and I think we are well over 100 at this point. So this, I know, is an issue that matters very much to you. Our guest is David Noyce, a professor in the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering and co-director of the Traffic Operations and Safety Laboratory, or TOPS, at UW-Madison. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Doesn't surprise you that we have comments coming off the page already on roundabouts, does it?
No, I think this is the first topic that people ask me about when they know I'm involved in transportation engineering. So it's a very common topic.
It is. And you might be tired of it, but we're going to do it again anyway. Let me ask you first. I mean, I think most of us know what a roundabout is, but in case someone just moved here from a state that doesn't have them at all, what is a roundabout?
Well, roundabout is just simply an intersection, Joy, that has been designed. It was developed in Europe and used around the world for many, many years. But it's simply an intersection that allows for continuous movement without the need for stop and traffic signal type control.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that we have found to be effective, not only generally from a safety standpoint, but certainly from an operational standpoint to keep vehicles moving.
Yeah, so what do you make of this report? And I know that we've had, this is just a Madison report, but what do you make of this report that while there are no fatal accidents at the roundabout intersections in Madison, that the number of fender benders or less serious accidents continues to climb?
Yeah, there's no question that there's a couple of roundabouts throughout the state that do see a fair amount of sideswipe and rear-end accidents, especially some of the higher volume ones. Those are traditionally the two-lane roundabouts versus the single-lane roundabout. We have certainly situations where we need to spend a little bit more time with drivers, teaching them and showing them how to best operate within roundabouts in order to reduce some of these crashes. But the good news is, and what we continue to try and talk about, is the fact that overall roundabouts have been extremely effective in what their primary goal is, and that's to reduce the more severe and fatal accidents. And for the most part, across the state of Wisconsin, there's been no fatal accidents at a roundabout, and severe crashes continue to go down. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, we're seeing some more fender bender type accidents, as you mentioned, but the general severity of crashes has gone down.
Yeah, so why do we think fatal accidents are go down with roundabouts?
Well, we take out the right angle type crashes, which is the key ones at intersections for higher speed, different types of accident types that are eliminated with roundabouts. And because you take the speed and that type out of the equation, we reduce the traditional highly severe type crashes.
Yeah. And when you mentioned that it's roundabouts are good for the operational end of traffic, that means that we're not, what, sitting at a four-way stop or a stoplight and for a long time?
Exactly. We reduce the delay at roundabouts. So what we for years, Joy, we've had to make decisions about if we want to improve safety, then it tended to impact operations or efficiency at a location. And it was always a trade-off. You had to make a decision one way or the other. But with roundabouts, they're very effective at not only in improving safety, but also keeping vehicles moving, keeping circulating, and reducing the delay at intersections. And, of course, we all like that.
Yeah. So why did Europe was doing this for quite some time, and we started this in this country. What's it been now, a couple of decades?
Yeah, roundabouts began in late 1900, about around the year 2000, I think, is probably the best estimate when they became quite common in the United States. So we're approaching two decades, you are correct, in the terms of where roundabouts have been used.
And I'm just trying to figure out how long do we need, what's the learning curve on these things?
Yeah, well, roundabouts in Wisconsin started in about 2004 or so. I think most roundabouts don't have any problems. Most roundabouts have a very low crash rate. It's some of the larger ones and some of the more high-volume ones, such as the one that you mentioned here in Madison, that tends to catch the media's eye and tends to be the ones that we look at in terms of trying to make sure people understand and operate correctly within the roundabouts, especially in the two-lane roundabouts where the lane configurations operate a little bit differently. But also, across all of our transportation system, Joy, we have to think about distractions. We have to think about taking our time a little bit and just making sure that we operate within the system efficiently and safely.
Yeah, Greg on Facebook says, I love them, roundabouts, in general, but I wish more drivers understood how they work. So can you describe for us how a roundabout is supposed to work and how we should maneuver them properly?
Sure. It's pretty simple in the sense that what's unique about United States roundabouts, Wisconsin roundabouts, of course, is the same way, is that we yield on entry. So the yield movement happens to vehicles that have already entered the roundabout and are circulating within the roundabout. So one of the challenges we have with roundabouts on that yield in the approach side is that is a place where we see a number of small severity accidents, meaning fender benders, rear-end accidents, where people are, the vehicle in front's yielding correctly on the approach, and the vehicle behind them fails to yield, and we see a number of crashes there. Single-lane roundabouts aren't as much of a problem from a low-end crash standpoint then as the double-lane roundabouts. And a double-lane roundabout, simply, there's two lanes on the approach. The inside lane, or the left-hand lane, is designed for vehicles that are doing a U-turn or left turn, and the right lane is designed for vehicles that are taking a right turn or a through movement.
Mm-hmm.
So you see a lot of the inside roundabout crashes being sideswipe-type crashes where vehicles are making a lane change because the driver may have gotten into the wrong entry lane on the approach.
We are talking with David Noyce. He is a professor in the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering, co-director of the Traffic Operations and Safety Laboratory at UW-Madison. And we are talking about roundabouts, the safety of roundabouts, and the rationale of roundabouts, and wondering what you think about roundabouts. Do you love them or hate them? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We have James on Facebook who says, I love them. They really are not that complicated. I'm going to now confess that I used to hate roundabouts. I do no longer hate roundabouts. I do know how to use them, and I am getting used to them. But I'll have to admit the double lanes, the two-lane roundabouts are more confusing than those single-lane ones. So, and that's where we're seeing most of the fender benders is the two-lane ones, David?
Yeah, I think where we add the crash frequency, if you will, on two-lane roundabouts is the internal circulation and some of the side swipes that take place when vehicles are circulating through the two-lane roundabouts. There's also, as I mentioned, the key to two-lane roundabouts, and we use signage on the approach to roundabouts to try and communicate this with drivers, is it's important to make the appropriate lane decision on the approach to the roundabout depending upon what direction you're planning on going at the intersection.
Right.
And that's the message that we're trying to get to drivers, to make sure you plan accordingly and select the appropriate lane on the approach.
Chris on Facebook says, I love them, although I think they need to be placed where they are needed and not just for the sake of having them. We have less than a minute to go before a news break. David, do you know what goes into deciding whether an intersection should have a roundabout or not?
Well, I know for a period of time, roundabouts were considered with many of the intersection replacements that took place across the state. What we look for is a series of things, one of them being, is there a crash history where a roundabout can provide a benefit? And also, is the roundabout within a location that traffic volumes suggest that a roundabout will be beneficial from an operational standpoint as well?
We'll pick up on this after we check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we hope to hear from you. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are exploring our love-hate relationship with roundabouts this hour in light of a recent report from the Madison Traffic Engineering Department that found that while fatal accidents are non-existent in the roundabouts, the five roundabouts in Madison, the number of crashes continues to rise. These are mainly fender bender type crashes, but they continue to go up, and we're wondering why that is and what can be done about it. Welcoming your thoughts, your questions, your experiences with roundabouts. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So do you appreciate roundabouts because you're not, you know, stopped at a stoplight for a long time? Do you appreciate that they're easy for you to maneuver and you can just be on your way? Or are you someone who avoids roundabouts and you dislike maybe especially the two-lane roundabouts? Have you ever gotten into a fender bender in a roundabout? According to this this Madison report, there is one two-lane roundabout on the west side of Madison that's particularly problematic. It's at Mineral Point Road and Pleasant View Road. 47 crashes last year. That's 12 more than in 2015. So, what do we do about this? We have Laura on Facebook who says maybe it would be helpful if they, roundabouts, were not built up with all that fancy landscaping in the center as some are. That way the yielding vehicle will have a clearer view of the right-of-way traffic from the left, thus providing greater reaction time for both vehicles. Keep them flat and without view obstruction. Seems like an intuitive, simple, and even cost-saving improvement. Might seem like that would be an idea, a David Noyce, but I read that the landscaping is there by design.
Yes, that's true, Joy. So the landscaping isn't designed to minimize sight distance to a point to where it becomes unsafe, but landscaping at roundabouts is often used to help focus drivers in terms of identifying the locations where it's critical for drivers to look for the important information they need for yielding and operating on the approach to the roundabout. What we see in especially the higher volume, higher speed roundabouts is when the view is wide open, drivers tend to take advantage of that, and the yield movement on the roundabout on the approach is less, and drivers try to enter the roundabout at a bit higher speed as they can see a little bit more broadly through the intersection. And, of course, when we have that type of movement, then the probability of a accident or something that we don't want to happen at the roundabout goes up a little bit. So we have to be careful with how we landscape and design the roundabout from that standpoint.
Jim in Prairie du Chien is with us. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
I understand you're a truck driver, Jim.
I am.
And how's the roundabout working for you?
It gets a little tight, especially when you have two lanes approaching from one direction. With the tractor trailer, I have to block both lanes to keep someone from getting up beside me. And needless to say, it impedes flow in a lot of cases when I'm taking both lanes going around the roundabout.
Yeah.
But the only way I can do it safely.
What about trucks and roundabouts, David?
Yeah, we certainly take account in trucks and when we design the diameter of roundabouts. But as Jim pointed out, it is a challenge, especially on the two-lane roundabouts, when you have vehicles that are running parallel and side-by-side with a large trailer. We do know that the trailers have a bit of a different turning radius, as Jim points out, on some of the smaller diameter roundabouts. So it's just something as a driver of a vehicle next to a vehicle like Jim's, when he's driving his truck, you have to be a bit more careful and make appropriate position choices to avoid some of the challenges of being side-by-side with a truck.
Yeah. Jim, thanks, and safe driving out there. Peter on Facebook says the speed limit in most roundabouts is 15 miles per hour. If the cops would simply enforce the speed limit, this problem goes away. There will be zero accidents. I often see people actually speed up to go through the roundabout, I guess because it's fun. Why don't we ever see a cop working a roundabout? Well, I don't know if you can answer that, David, but what about the speed in a roundabout? It's supposed to be 15 miles per hour?
Yes, that's the desired speed in a roundabout. Yes, I cannot answer the question about enforcement, but nevertheless, the point is extremely important that she made, in the sense that if we reduce the speed in roundabouts like is being described, that's going to minimize, perhaps even eliminate in some cases, the crashes we're talking about. What we also have to remember, and one point I want to make here, Joy, is that, you know, we're talking about this intersection in Madison here that's seen the increase, but that's not the norm. Many of the intersections that do have roundabouts across the state do see reductions in total number of crashes. So roundabouts overall are okay. They're improving safety. But we do have several that have increasing crashes. That's certainly true. And the operating conditions within them are what we think are the key part of why those crashes are going up, speed being one of them. So that's an important comment that your caller made.
Yeah. What else besides speed is resulting in the increase in crashes in some roundabouts?
I think that there's really a couple of things that we've noticed as we studied roundabouts across the state. And the other one I'll generalize is driver behavior. And not picking on drivers by any means here, but what we see is situations, I mentioned the lane change and being aware of operating conditions and how you should operate on a two-lane roundabout. But we also see situations, especially with the rear-end crashes on the approach to roundabouts, where a little bit more aggression than what we would hope to see from a driver's standpoint. So when the vehicle decides that they do not have an appropriate gap as they approach the intersection and have to yield on the approach, that oftentimes the vehicle following them are following a little bit too close and don't have time to yield to that vehicle ahead of them. And we see a lot of rear-end crashes there, especially at the one on the east, or the west side here in Madison.
Let me just clarify. So it's not only the entrance to the roundabout where there might be a rear-end crash, but there might be a crash in the roundabout itself because someone driving is afraid, perhaps, that the car entering the roundabout is not going to yield, so that person stops and the person behind them hits them?
Yeah, I think that's more on the approach, Joy. So on the approach to the roundabout, when, you know, we do have the yield to entry requirement here, and drivers have to select a gap when they enter a roundabout to make sure they have the appropriate space to enter safely.
Yeah.
Vehicles sometimes on the approach will, you know, be heading towards the roundabout, decide at the last minute that the gap there is not sufficient for them, and then make a decision to yield. And sometimes the vehicles behind them get surprised by that, which leads to the rear-end crashes.
I have been behind vehicles in the circle itself, though, and where someone maybe who's unfamiliar with what the rules of the roundabout are will start yielding to the car that wants to enter, and then, you know, slowing, you know, kind of stopping in the roundabout itself, and that's not the way you're supposed to do it either.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So that's what you see. You see sometimes when people become unclear on just actually how to operate within the roundabout. And that confusion often leads to some of the accidents we're talking about.
Yeah, Randy on Facebook says, I was waiting my turn to enter a roundabout and was rear-ended by a pickup that never slowed down. My wife and I both were taken away by ambulance. Other driver was uninsured. well, I guess that's not very good either. But yeah, so there's a case in point where someone was rear-ended because someone wasn't, you know, was going too fast apparently, or not paying attention. We are talking with David Noyce, a professor in the Department of Civil Environmental Engineering, co-director of the Traffic Operations and Safety Laboratory at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, talking with him about roundabouts and the reasoning for roundabouts and the safety of roundabouts. We welcome your questions for him. We welcome your thoughts about roundabouts. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So do you love them or hate them? Do you want to see more of them or fewer of them? Have you changed your mind a little bit? Like me, I used to really, really dislike roundabouts. I don't like to say hate, but I used to really dislike roundabouts. I am far more used to driving in them now, and I know how to drive in them, but I'm still not the biggest fan. I sometimes think that there are so many of them, and I don't know, maybe it's just my imagination, but like getting off a highway, Highway 41 near Oshkosh comes to mind, and there's not one, not two, but three roundabouts in succession to, you know, get to where I want to go. What is the reasoning behind that, David, where you might have, especially off a highway, that you have multiple roundabouts in succession?
Well, the design of those roundabouts in those locations are really there for efficiency. So it's a way to keep vehicles moving. It's a situation where some of those entries to the freeways have a high amount of traffic volumes, especially during the morning and afternoon peak periods. So the combination of those intersection designs have been quite effective at keeping vehicles moving and reducing the delay in the capacitor, I should say, the delay in improving the operational efficiency is what I'm trying to say here in terms of that overall corridor of roadways at those locations.
Yeah. We have a Beldar on Facebook who says, well-designed ones are fine, but there are some that are just terrible. The one by Westside Fleet Farm in Green Bay comes to mind. Well, I don't know that one in particular, and I'm not sure David, but can you tell us what's a well-designed roundabout and what's a not well-designed roundabout?
Yes, I'm not familiar with that one that's being described either. But I think what people think about when they're talking about roundabouts in their minds that are not well designed are ones where traffic volumes have probably increased since the roundabout was originally installed. And the key with roundabout capacity deals with the diameter of the roundabout. So if the diameter of the circulating circle is of too small or not enough capacity there to support traffic, then we get into some of the design issues that most drivers pick up on.
Let's go to the phones now. We have full lines all of a sudden. Tim in Eau Claire. Hi, Tim.
Hi. I guess part of my issue with roundabouts is snow and ice removal. I have an ex-girlfriend up here in Eau Claire who approached a roundabout at 5 miles an hour because everything was slippery, couldn't maintain control, slid into a yield sign. An hour later, I went back through that same intersection, still icy, but somebody had put the yield sign back up.
So you're saying that they're more, are they slipperier than a normal road, Tim?
Well, if you think about it, if you are headed in a straight line and you apply your brakes, it's much easier to stop and not slide out of control than if you're trying to make a relatively tight corner. Yeah. While also maybe trying to slow down because you underestimated the iciness of the intersection.
Yeah, well, so maybe they're a little harder to maneuver than a regular intersection in icy conditions, David?
Well, I think what Tim has identified perhaps is more of a snow maintenance issue than an intersection design issue, but I hear what he's saying. Mm-hmm. I think if you would get a snowplow driver online or talk to a snowplow driver, they'll tell you that there certainly is more challenges in terms of maintaining a roundabout, especially the two-lane and larger roundabouts in snow removal and being able to push the snow to the appropriate places at an intersection. But generally speaking, what Tim points out should not be a roundabout issue, but just a general winter maintenance issue.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. John in Green Bay is with us. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning. I guess the landscaping topic was already covered, so I switched my question to the following. At a roundabout where I have the right-of-way, I'm already in the roundabout, and two lanes of traffic are entering from the right, the situation that I have often experienced is that of those two lanes that are entering from the right, if the first lane has a vehicle in it, has stopped for me, I find myself having to slow way down to make sure that that second lane entering is clear and I don't get T-boned.
Mm-hmm. So you're slowing down as you're inside the roundabout, John?
Right, and that's for my concern for my safety because the vehicle stopped in the nearer lane entering, yielding to me, is blocking my vision of that second lane.
Yeah, and presumably maybe the second lane is not seeing John. What about that, David?
Yeah, I think that's not an uncommon situation that John is talking about, and I hear that from drivers quite frequently. When there are two lanes on the approach, there's no question that there's two vehicles there most often that need to yield to the vehicles circulating within the roundabout, and it really becomes just a typical, with any type of intersection, really type of operating condition for drivers looking out appropriately for each other while they yield and or operate within the intersection. So John hits a valid point.
Maureen on Facebook says, I am not a fan. They intimidate me. Well, actually, it's the drivers in the roundabout that intimidate me. So what advice do you have, David, for people like Maureen who, you know, maybe are a little intimidated by the roundabout itself, but also other drivers in the roundabout?
Yeah, well, I think the previous caller, John, hit the nail on the head where the best advice that we can give is just to be cautious and take the roundabout at a reasonable or slower speed if necessary, to be even more cautious and look out appropriately for other vehicles within the roundabout. It's just like it's roundabouts often, and you know, it's our topic obviously here this morning, but take the blame of issues that really happen at all intersections, and that's driving too aggressively. When we have aggressive drivers in a roundabout, the probability of something happening goes up, just like any other intersection. So the best advice is if you're unclear or if you feel like other drivers are not operating correctly at a roundabout, is simply slow down and be a little bit more safe as you go through it.
Yeah. And John was going to talk about landscaping again, but I just wanted to bring that topic up with just a minute again to go before a news break. You said putting the landscaping in the center of the roundabout is done to slow drivers down. Is that right?
Yeah, it provides, so the general design concept is it provides a visual blockage such that drivers are focused on the key areas they need to look at on the approach, which is the vehicles to your left that are circulating in the roundabout, and it prevents where we see some of the higher speed approaches to the roundabout, Joy, is when people scan the whole roundabout when they're wide open, do not see any vehicles or do not see any immediate conflicting vehicles. Especially when you want to go through a roundabout, as in a through movement, and then the yield tends to be less and drivers are approaching and entering the roundabout at a much higher speed.
Yeah, and then they gun it. We are talking with David Noyce about the safety of roundabouts, and we're welcoming your questions and your experiences. More after this news. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about roundabouts. We are going another round on roundabouts this hour, following a recent report on a multi-lane roundabout in Madison. This particular roundabout intersection in Madison's west side has seen an increase in crashes, and it was dubbed a crash magnet. And we thought we would talk about why this is, why at least in some roundabout intersections, we are seeing more accidents, more crashes, but they're less serious. There are no fatal accidents in the roundabouts, but there are more fender benders. This particular roundabout at Mineral Point Road and Pleasant View Road had 47 crashes last year, according to the city's traffic engineering department. That's 12 more than in 2015. So, what are your thoughts and questions about roundabouts and roundabout safety or risks at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. So, are you getting used to roundabouts yet? Do you are you starting to appreciate them, or do you still avoid them? Do you still hate them? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is David Noyce, a professor in the Department of Civil, Environmental Engineering, and co-director of the Traffic Operations and Safety Laboratory at UW-Madison. Kenneth in Janesville is with us next. Hi, Kenneth.
Hello. Happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day.
I first encountered them in Europe, and in Europe they are a lot simpler. They're at the same level. All they are is circles in the pavement with a pole in the middle. And when I first encountered them, they were no stopping. I mean, you could go straight right through it with no problem, but they were usually busier.
Yeah, and when you mean straight right through it, you mean there was not a yielding to go into the circle itself?
Right. Mm-hmm. It seemed like a lot more efficient, and they are on a smaller scale, and that seemed to me better.
Yeah. So, are the roundabouts or traffic circles in Europe more consistent and smaller, David? As far as you know.
Well, there's certainly different designs used across the world and different operating rules used across the world. I do know some of the European designs do not have the yield on approach like we use here in this country, but there's different conditions that go along with making those decisions on how to operate. And a little bit more experience. They've been around much longer in those locations, so drivers have gone through generations of being familiar with how to operate in roundabouts and traffic circles like you described. So it's a little bit different situation, but Kenneth's point is true, where there is different operating conditions at different points around the world.
There is another listener on Facebook who had a similar comment. Let me look at him. Well, Peter on Facebook says, I like roundabouts, but they are problematic for visitors to an area when they are not standardized in their shape and configuration. So how many, do we have a lot of different shapes and configurations in Wisconsin?
I'm not sure about configurations, Joy. I think roundabouts are round.
Yeah.
They're different diameters, and sometimes the approaches, so the four approaches into a roundabout, sometimes there's only three, but for the most part there's four approaches, and we tend to try to keep them in right angle type approaches, if you will, or creating a cross at the intersection with a roundabout. But perhaps what's being referred to is some of the roundabouts that do have different angles on approach for the side streets that are coming into the roundabout.
Yeah. They are problematic for visitors. I can see that, not so much on their shape or size, but that it is it just seems if you don't know exactly where you're going in a community, the roundabout is more confusing to you. Is that just me?
Well, I think that's some of the experience issues still with roundabouts, especially for those drivers who don't experience roundabouts on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Yes, when visitors will come, whether they're visitors into a community who live nearby and just do not experience roundabouts on a regular basis, or people that come from elsewhere. But I think that's one of the key factors we have with roundabouts is continuing to build the experience, given the fact that they are, even though 2 decades is a long time, that there's still many drivers that do not have a lot of experience with roundabouts.
Dean on Facebook says, I'm guessing there is some savings of gas at roundabouts, but I hate them. Three hates. There are too many signs and too many arrows painted on the road, as well as other traffic to watch for, making it quite confusing as to where I am to exit. So, I know the DOT put together some sort of a video to help people out on maneuvering these safely. I mean, is there any other, is that what where you would direct people to really get a better handle on how to drive in them safely?
Yeah, the Department of Transportation has put out numerous publications, both video-based and print-based, to help drivers better understand how to operate within these conditions. Experience, I think, Joy, is the key part here, is drivers, there is plenty of traffic control on the approach and within the roundabout. I know Dean said he does not like all the signs, but they're there to communicate with you, give you information that you need to operate safely within the roundabout. So I think for the most part, Wisconsin Department of Transportation does a pretty good job in developing the communication network needed to be safe in a roundabout.
Yeah. Stephanie on Facebook says, I like them better than stopping and waiting forever. Traffic just moves along. All you have to do is learn your turn and yield to your left. Is that right? Yield to your left?
Yeah. I mean, that's where you are looking when, you know, where we circulate in a counterclockwise direction in a roundabout. I'm sorry, in a clockwise direction. Therefore, the yield movement comes to your left as you approach a roundabout, so that is the key visual angle you're looking at on the approach.
Stephanie is correct when she says, she likes them better than stopping and waiting forever because the traffic just moves along, and that in part is done to relieve congestion, and it saves gas, as Dean mentioned.
Absolutely, and that's what I mentioned earlier is one of the key features of a roundabout is they are much more efficient. And most of them, you are yielding, but there's plenty of gaps within the roundabout. So you do not have to come to a complete stop on your approach to roundabout. You're selecting a gap while you move. And anytime we minimize the stop and start, we are saving fuel and being more efficient from a fuel standpoint within the transportation system.
Julie on Facebook says, well, the solution is obvious, speed bumps. I like them, but I'm very cautious because the other drivers tend to be stupid. Before the roundabout on Mineral Point, it was impossible to make a left turn off Pleasant View no matter what time of day. So speed bumps, are speed bumps ever in roundabouts?
I am not familiar, Julie, with speed bumps and roundabouts. Speed bumps are more of a lower speed traffic calming type of approach that you would see on a residential type of roadway. Not something I think we'd want to use for traffic speed control at a roundabout, but there are certain things that in roundabouts in general are speed control in the sense that you do need to yield on the approach and operate safely at a slower speed. Perhaps there is other things we can look at for speed control, but speed bumps will probably not be one of them.
I can just imagine people hate speed bumps too, and then so they hate roundabouts and speed bumps. There'd be even double the complaints. And I know that you had mentioned earlier that this, and I know this is just Madison, but it is your belief that this one big roundabout on the far west side of Madison is an anomaly, that the increase in crashes at this far west side Madison roundabout is kind of bucking the trend, that you think the accidents are going down at the other ones?
Yeah, so we've studied roundabouts across the state for many years now to see what's happening from a safety and operational standpoint. And for the most part, certainly with single-lane roundabouts, but in many double-lane roundabouts, crashes do go down. It's a number of them across the state that we have seen increases in crashes, which lead to some of the concerns that your callers have, as well as what this report identified recently in the local media. What we see is that, some of the, as was mentioned, some of the lower speed type of crashes have gone up, the rear end and some of the sideswipe, but a 40% or more decrease in fatal and injury crashes, and for the most part, no fatal crashes across the state at roundabouts from a transportation safety standpoint and the things that we look at, that's a win. That's exciting that we've been able to introduce a safety feature that has reduced fatal crashes, and I think everybody can be happy about that.
Yeah. And what would you anticipate the next step be for the big multi-lane roundabouts like this one in Madison that is seeing an increase? What do you think should happen?
Well, hopefully some of the communication we're having on this topic mm-hmm. will make drivers more aware of the appropriate operating methods and procedures that we hope take place at a roundabout, and being aware of how yield movements and drivers should work together, if you will, on a roundabout like that. But what we have to also be focused on from a traffic engineering standpoint is how to make them safer, especially the higher volume, larger two-lane roundabouts like the one that's being described here in town, and seeing what other safety features we can add to the roundabout to try and reduce the number of low-volume accidents that are taking place there.
Yeah,
or low-speed accidents, I should say, pardon me.
Yeah, Zach on Facebook says, of course, new drivers should be taught, both in the classroom and behind the wheel, the proper procedures for using roundabouts. So is that, with just a minute to go, is that going to be something we need in driver's ed, or are we already having it in driver's ed?
Well, my daughter recently went through driver's ed, and I know that they do a lot of training on roundabouts and take young drivers through roundabouts. Obviously, roundabouts don't exist in every community in the state of Wisconsin, so there'll be some who do not experience that as part of their driver training. But Wisconsin DOT and local communities, I know, are working hard to make sure young drivers are very familiar with how to operate in roundabouts.
Well, safe traveling to you, David Noyce. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
David Noyce is a professor in the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering, co-director of the Traffic Operations and Safety Laboratory, or TOPS, at UW-Madison. Thanks to Niaja Ellison for producing this program. Thank you for listening and for your participation. Stay tuned. Our State Capitol Report is next. I'm Joy Curdine. This is the Ideas Network.